you should be so closely aligned and collaborative and transparent that if you lose your filler for some odd reason, that the filler shuts down, we already know what OT is going to go do, and that is to get that filler back up and running just as fast as they can because they know it's costing them money, real dollars. IT should be sitting there going, let's take a look at why we lost that filler. What happened?
Right.
You know, where they could go back to the OT guys and say, yeah, Joe over here made a PLC change, you know, 5 minutes before that filler could work.
Hey, I'm Dino Busalaki, the Chief Technology Officer and OT guy at Velta Technology.
Hi, I'm Jim, the COO and IT guy.
And I'm Craig Duckworth, President and CEO.
You're listening to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Show.
In each episode, we bring you the inside scoop on the world of industrial cybersecurity.
We talk about everything you don't know
that you should know. So plug in and power up. The show's about to get started.
Hi, I'm Dino Busalaki. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for Velta Technology. And with me today, we have Jim Cook, who is?
I am the Chief Operating Officer working on service delivery here at Velta Technology. And what are we talking about today, Dino?
It's that IT and OT convergence conversation that we hear a lot about. You know, what's the difference and what's the big deal? And so ideally, we'd like to try to figure out how you can get these two very different groups that have extremely different responsibilities to get together to do something that's really relevant and important for the organization.
That reminds me, I just caught the original Ghostbusters on TV the other day, and what's Bill Murray's famous line, right? Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Is that what you're suggesting? It sounds like hysteria of cats and dogs living together.
I actually kind of was thinking about using maybe the Twilight Zone, right? Yeah. Because I believe they're in different dimensions, to be honest with you, when you really think about it, right? Because like I said earlier, they have very different things to do, right? IT's primary function is to help you manage this, right? I don't think anybody would argue with that. That's their job. Technology, business applications, the enterprise. OT's job is the whole reason why you exist as an organization if you're a manufacturer, right? Your revenue is generated from what is made in your manufacturing facilities. And the challenge is we have physical connected systems that have been connected to the network, to a network. Now, you'll get some argument between some executives that will say that our machine centers aren't connected, which we never find, right? I mean, the tools that we use, we got new tools today that we didn't have a few years back that are made for that OT environment. And not everybody's using them, right? You can go back to what Cisco has said, what Claroty has said, what Aramis has said. I would even think that the big six accounting or big four, however you want to rank them, say the same thing.
Right.
60% of your manufacturing organizations, your OT environments, are still in the unaware to awareness phase when it comes to OT cybersecurity, OT generally speaking. 30%. But now we've just started scratching the surface and doing something.
Right.
And oh, wow, man, this is real stuff, right? There's some things out here we need to go look at. And you got 10% to move down the road a little bit further and toward integrations and operationalizing these tools. So in general, you still got 90% of the manufacturing world out there still not even understanding what this stuff is and what it's all about, Jim, right?
Doing some head scratching and navel gazing right now, right?
All right. And we keep using the word OT, right? It's OT. It belongs to OT. You don't hear me saying IT, do you? Right? So how do you get IT engaged in something that they're pretty good at from cybersecurity policies, technologies, governance, right?
You got the 90% that are still the head scratching, navel gazing, trying to figure the whole thing out. And a lot of it is due to just this is a space that neither of these two dimensions have stepped into. We've talked about this before from the IT perspective. They draw a line at the concrete. Right. And for better or for worse, that's how the IT group has survived for decades. Right. I was part of that. And for those of you that don't know our background, Dino and I, when I got out of college, that's where we met up and we kind of took different paths. And he spent decades in the OT world and I spent decades in the IT world. And we've come back together at Velta Technology. And it really, you know, from our perspective, he and I go back and forth with the clients because we can understand those perspectives. But the IT world up to now has been said, hey, concrete, we're not going to go out on the concrete. We're drawing the line here, right? And now there's this gray area that has to create some visibility in there. And the OT and IT groups of these two different dimensions have to start talking to each other and go, okay, well, who is responsible? Because I'm not doing it. Are you doing it? Well, I'm not doing it. Are you doing it? And that's sort of this conversation. I think that's where like the 60 to 90% are really struggling with.
Well, and IT, definition wise, has been around for decades, right? I mean, you're talking about stuff that's been around for half a century. Right. OT has been around as long or longer, but it's never been called OT. I would say it's been called OT in the last decade. Thereabouts, somewhere in there, because there are still groups out there that ask that question. Well, what is OT? And if you're an engineer, controls engineer, process engineer, operator, plant manager, QA person, anybody who works in the four walls of a plant is responsible for making the goods that your organization makes. You're OT, right? And a lot of them don't even recognize that, right? They don't realize that they're being put into this group when we talk about OT. So one of the challenges is recognize the role that you have when we talk about IT and OT, right? And when it comes to cybersecurity, OT has to play a larger role than they do, right? Because of safety, because of quality, process integrity, trying to reduce unplanned and scheduled downtime. And so their role has to be a leadership role in this space, in my view. To your point, IT, they'll go into the plant, but when it gets to that concrete, that shop floor, they tend to pull back. And because let's face it, a lot of the technology that's out there isn't cool and sexy stuff from an IT perspective. I mean, if you're talking about 10, 15, 20-year-old technologies, Windows 7, Windows XP, even Windows 10 machines that are over 10 years old, right? HMIs, drives that are 20 years old, PLCs that are 20 years old. That's not cool to them. And if you don't know what language it's speaking, and you know what its interaction is, how are you going to provide security around that, right?
And right.
What we see a lot of IT groups do is they try to build a bubble. They try to insulate themselves from their plant floor, not try to get into the plant floor to understand it, but try to figure out how can I block them from me because I don't know what's going in there and I don't want to get infected by that. At the same time, I don't want anything that's in my house going down into their house either.
I kind of challenge that one. I don't know if they really even think about what goes out of their network. They're starting to go, well, I don't want to be blamed for them shutting down, but I don't even know what's inside that bubble. And it gets to all those goals that you mentioned that that OT group has to manage and be responsible for. That's not even in the vernacular of the IT department, right? So they got to start thinking, hey, the goals we go after don't align the goals that group out there goes after, right? And so maybe we need to start rethinking this a bit or thinking a little differently, because up to now, IT's just been digital outcomes, right? Is our data safe? Is it secure? Is it accessible? Those types of things. It's all about digital. But you step on that concrete floor, that's kind of last down on the list, right? It's all about getting that product out the door. Can we get it in? And can we do what we're supposed to do? And can we get it out? That's job one. Well, you could say safety's job one, but job one really, if you're producing and you have to produce, that's where they start, butting heads, right?
Well, look what happened this week, right? And we have these conversations every day. We have these conversations. We had one today with a fairly large global company, and they had, 12, 15 people from all over the world on the IT side on this call, beginning a kickoff on looking at OT cybersecurity. And the executive that was running the project 10 minutes into it, after listening to us talk, right, we're explaining who we are, what we do, what we're going after, what the target is. And he pipes up and he goes, hey, where are the OT guys at that are supposed to be on this call? Talking to the project manager who was putting this thing together, turned around and go, we're missing some people in this discussion. Remember that call?
Right.
And it was relevant. It was, because it changes the entire dynamic, because then for some, it's like, oh no, you're going to bring those guys in here and we got to deal with them. Right. Because they don't always line up organizationally. When you think about your IT organization, IT and OT organizations, sometimes leadership wise, they don't line up just correctly, right? Because OT's responsibility, like I said earlier, is about driving revenue, right? They're the reason why you exist. So they got a pretty powerful hand in the organization and the relationship. And sometimes when IT gets too close to that type of leadership, it becomes very uncomfortable for them.
Right.
It does. Yeah. Right. Because they might want to bite your head off. It's like, I'm busy on time for you guys. You know, I got, you know, I'm trying to make $100 million worth of product of this quarter. And I don't need any interruptions. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not even on my radar screen for whatever it is you're talking about. So my point is that leadership recognized that the project team was like, yeah, we knew that was going to have to happen. We just didn't know when. The sooner the better is what we would say. The sooner you get the IT and OT people to the table and go through tabletop exercises, for example, or go through some type of proof of value of why this is relevant and important, especially if you've got risk going on already. You can't get cybersecurity insurance. You've already been hacked. Y'all need to get together and sit down and start talking this through and bring people to the table who do this, right?
Yeah. And I would say, too, at that time, to my IT brethren out there, right, that you need to listen, and you need to listen and figure out what's important to those OT people, and then how you tie what's important to you to what's important to them. As you said, you know, one of the most common things with any time we're kicking off these things is that IT has no idea the challenge it's going to be to do the work that needs to be done and the timing and when that happens. They'll come out, and I can't count the number of companies that they come up with a plan and they put it in front. And I say, well, that's a great plan, but why don't we see what happens when we start talking to your OT folks? And that's when it started. Blows up in their face, and they're like, well, we've got this shutdown plan, and we're doing a startup, and we've got changeover, and we're bringing new equipment, you know, and we can't get to that for 3 months. Right.
Well, that equipment's not even connected to the network. Don't worry about it. It's not connected. Right. What about that?
Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right. Which we know is not true. And we fight that battle all the time. Right. But that's an example, because, you know, if you're an IT guy and you're hearing from the plant team, it's like, yeah, those machine centers over there are not connected to the network. Trust me, they are. They are. They're connected to a network.
Right. They're somehow they'll get it. They'll get it. I mean, because that's the thing. We spent enough time on the floor. I've spent enough time on the floor with you and our own work here. And you can see those guys, the wheels are turning, and IT can sometimes be a barrier to them. And that's how they're looking at them in any conversation. And they'd rather ask for forgiveness than ask for, what is it? Not ask for permission and ask for forgiveness, you know, however that goes, because they need to get the production out the floor. And they're going to go, well, maybe if I just say yes and they go away, I can get back to my business, right? And that's why IT needs to be thinking about what's important to the OT, and so you can tie it together. And that's something we always call, you know, how you get to that OT adoption.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about the 30% and the 10%, right? And we just witnessed another client call that we had, where you have a client who has an OT, cybersecurity intrusion detection system, in their environment. And the OT team is trying to kick off a new project. And they're bringing us in, you know, because it has to do with secure remote access into that space. And we started, and we knew they had an OT IDS platform. So we started asking them data points, metrics from that tool. You know, for example, you know, what protocols are being used in that space to gain remote access? What kind of visibility is being displayed to you with the tool that you have? For example, if somebody makes a change to a PLC and does an online edit, are you capturing that? What's the report? Who's resolving the alerts and alarms and events that this tool is kicking out? And the OT team is sitting there going, well, we don't get any of that stuff. Now, think about that for a second. IT went out and bought an OT IDS tool. They're using it, and they're not sharing or working with their OT counterparts on demonstrating the value that's beneficial to them to help with all of these other things that are going on that plant floor. Quality, safety, cybersecurity, process integrity, right?
Yeah, maintenance. Maintenance,
right? All these, and they're not sharing any of it. So if you're an IT organization and you have an OT IDS platform today, if you're not sitting down and working with your OT people and showing them the reports of the events and alerts that have been transgressing through that environment, or providing them relevant information about activity on, hey, somebody's making changes to PLCs, here's a report on that. You need to resolve that and here's access to the system so you can do that, right? Or right?
And asset management inventory. I mean, when you start showing that to the engineers, they never thought that was possible. They're out there paying somebody else to manually get this. Meanwhile, you're sitting on a treasure trove of information, and this is where I get to the IT folks.
Perfect.
But put some ownership on them, going, you don't realize that that data that you have is very important to those guys. There's a value point here, and that's where they got to get that dialogue going, or you're not really getting the value out of these things.
Right. You should be so closely aligned and collaborative and transparent that if you lose your filler for some odd reason, that the filler shuts down, we already know what OT is going to go do, and that is to get that filler back up and running just as fast as they can because they know it's costing them money, real dollars. IT should be sitting there going, let's take a look at why we lost that filler. What happened?
Right.
You know, where they could go back to the OT guys and say, yeah, Joe over here made a PLC change, you know, 5 minutes before that filler quit working.
Yeah. We got a client that's not about IT cybersecurity resilience that they brought us on. It's about the OT resilience, and we're doing it with the same tool sets, right? So the IT cybersecurity is secondary here, and we've been able to support and help direct improvements in their operational environment. I mean, marked improvements where they, you know, started out going, man, this thing's a mess. I don't know. I'm trying to unwind it, trying to get better production out here. And we were able to assist with that with the same set of tools. And it's great because everybody's leading in with cybersecurity, and which is important. Don't get me wrong. But this is that other value piece, right? That if the IT and OT are working together, the tool set's giving you great information. The tool set is giving the tool sets, right? And the solutions are, in this case, giving the operational guys information to improve the process, right? Same set of tools.
Right.
Same set of tools that we have with different clients that are leading with cybersecurity. This is operation.
Well, it's IT moving into that OT dimension and bringing value where they might be able to demonstrate, we can help you with your unplanned, unscheduled downtime, maybe by a few percentage points, which to the bottom line is worth millions and millions of dollars, right? IT showing their value of all of the impact, some of it created by IT. Don't get me wrong, 2/3 of disruption on the plant floor, I believe, comes from within. 1/3 comes from outside, but 2/3 from in. Like we said, somebody making a PLC change. It could be remote access that nobody really has any visibility into to a machine center that's making changes, maybe updating a firmware or software on an HMI or firmware on a PLC that caused disruption, where IT could be that group to help that OT folk go, the reason why we lost that for 3 hours today at $100,000 an hour of downtime, that's $300,000 we've lost because I can't get in a time capsule and go back and make up for the materials lost, resources consumed, salaries I'm paying, trucks that are out there waiting, a whole bevy of things that go into downtime cost, unplanned, unscheduled, to help fix that problem.
You don't have a Wayback Machine, Dino? And now Mr. Peabody and the Wayback Machine?
Nope.
You know, we need to get that. One other thing I'd add to that, it can help from an OT standpoint direct the maintenance dollars. I mean, every facility, right? They go through their budgeting and they set off these maintenance, you know, how much capital investment for maintenance and the equipment. And some companies do that scattershot. Well, we think what we're going to go after this year are these things, as opposed to some of this inventory and information. They could have some real quantifiable targets to go after, whether it be inefficiencies in their network and the communications of the equipment, or they can build into your vulnerability management or your life cycle management of the equipment.
End of support data that you can have right at your fingertips, right? When you're putting your capital plan together to recognize what do we got out there that's like that, instead of doing these manual efforts to collect that information. And, you know, if you're plant people, you're OT people, and you're working with third parties that are coming in to do manual discovery and assessments, you're just throwing money away, you know, because they're going to come in and do a snapshot once a year. As soon as they leave the plant, things are going to change. They like coming in and spending hours and hours and hours and hours roaming through your plant to collect that information versus dropping a tool in there that's going to pick it up in a heartbeat, right? That's the difference. You know, you want to shorten that cycle to get that asset inventory on your plant floor up to date and at your fingertips, you know, in a continuous fashion. Or do you want to pay for somebody to come in once a year, every other year, and spend days out there crawling through your plant and charging right. hours. They love doing nothing better than that, right? And so right. you're going to have to move right. past that.
Hey, Dina, I want to bring up another one that we always see and we talk about with clients. And that's a little bit from the IT and the OT. The IT perspective of that they're managing globally, right? That IT is a shared service center across the enterprise of the organization. If not, they're trying to, but that's a global standards or enterprise standards that they put in place. It's one network. It's one set of standards throughout the infrastructure, right? And IT is used to owning the entire infrastructure. And by that, they're implementing one architecture for the entire organization. But that drastically changes when you get down to the facility in a manufacturing environment, right?
Very much so. You know,
yeah.
I mean, those machine centers that they've collected over the decades that they've got out there are architected in a wide range of ways using a bevy of different technologies. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to find a dozen or 15 different switch model manufacturers and types in one plant. Right. You know, right. IT's used to one or two from a networking perspective. You know, we use Cisco for this and,
we're Juniper standard
for that. Right.
right. Yeah.
And you get into the plant floor and it's like it could be anything that they found in Japan to Germany to Italy to, you know, Mexico. You never know. Stuff that they right. just, you know, built the machine center that somebody ran to the shop and bought the switch that was being spiffed that week. You know, that's our sale item we're trying to get rid of. It's $50, and that's the switch you end up with in your $25 million piece of equipment that you're shipping to a client.
Right. And that, well, those are all different in the facility. If you got multiple facilities, they're all different too, right? They have spent decades creating a standard and owning the architecture and then infrastructure for the enterprise, right? And they're there now. And then suddenly, if you got 10 plants, you got 10 different architectures now. And you got to be ready to recognize that you go to plant one, that's going to be different than plant two. And plant two is going to be different than plant three. And it's not just that easy answer of saying, well, we just got to re-architect and put the standard in. Well, that's just not feasible. It's not
that's
feasible. And you have to understand. Right.
I mean, yeah. The dimension. As soon as you open that panel, you're in a different dimension. Mm-hmm. Right. As soon as you open that control system panel, it's got the switch and the PLCs and the HMIs and the drives in it and all that traffic that's moving around in there to make that filler spin and put liquid in a bottle. You know, that's a different dimension. And that's where I find most of the time when I'm working with IT people, as soon as you start breaching into that space is where I usually see them fall back because it's like, okay, that's not my responsibility. I don't own that. It's not my problem. Right. That's the mindset I typically witness with IT professionals on the plant floor when we get to that level of detail inside of those control systems. And there's nothing against them. It just they don't know anything about it. It doesn't meet the standard. Why isn't there a Cisco switch in there? Right. Why isn't an HP computer running, you know, the latest Windows operating system and they're running that HMI? You know,
why don't you just patch it? Right.
Yeah. Right. Get it up to date. Right.
Well, I think that's where we see our success. Right. We're a bit of the guides that can come in with the sage advice and go, hey, I know you normally are dealing with some sort of standard and architecture, but what your OT group is telling you is not unusual. Right. And you need to be, you know, kind of take a different look at it because you're talking about creating a new capability within an organization. Right. This OT cyberspace. Right. That just doesn't exist. Well, we just had those two dimensions. Well, now you've got the interdimensional that we're trying to create. And it could be organizational issues. It could be resource issues. It could just be an understanding issue. And that's why what we see, the value that we're bringing in the organization is part of that, right? From the outside to say, hey, these outside resources, let's use them to make sure I'm not talking up here and you're talking over here. We're talking different languages and we never get anywhere. And try and get us to speak the same language so that we understand both sides. I mean, wait a minute. I sound like I'm a couples counseling or something here, didn't I? Is that where I kind of went with it? Yep.
No, I mean, that's the gist of it, right? Because, you know, the OT folks, they wear a lot of hats, you know, and they've got several jobs to do, right? And throwing OT cybersecurity at them as a responsibility is not going to move up high on their priority list. And generally, most of them believe that cybersecurity just gets in the way of getting things done. One, they need to lose that mindset on the OT side. But at the same time, you have to dedicate some type of resources to this, because too many times the key person who knows a lot about how that plant operates, you know, where all the, how those control systems interact, who their partners are that come in here to help support and maintain this stuff, they need to be able to look at as OT cybersecurity like they do safety. Right. If you go back a couple of decades ago, before everybody was required to wear safety glasses and safety shoes and high vis clothing and fire retardant clothing, you know, we moved in that direction. And there were ambassadors or groups within the organization that were, not only do they still have their normal job, let's say somebody in QA who runs the labs in a plant might also have the responsibility for hazmat transportation of hazardous materials coming in out of the plant. Right. So they'll assign the group. And they'll write the policies and the procedures on how you move hazardous materials in and out of this plant, right? Engineering on for OSHA stuff, safety stuff, to make sure that people that are doing high work, hot work, you know, working around high voltage systems, that they're doing that in a proper, safe manner. The fact that you're on my plant floor, are you wearing your hard hat? Are you wearing your safety glasses? Are you wearing your high vis vest? Do you have on your safety shoes? There's people that are trained to sit there and recognize if something like that crawls onto their floor, how to go right. deal with that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it, like you said, it's a role. It's not saying, okay, we got to carve and it's another whole person out, but it is a role that someone should be playing at each facility, because each of these facilities is unique.
Right.
They have different types of machines or age of machines or people running them, so that there needs to be some local participation, but it should be a role. Right. Right now, they probably have a guy, every plant does, that knows how to connect some things up to the network when that right. machine. So you're kind of halfway there. That role needs to expand a little bit and take into account the OT cyber. And then that has to work with the IT, and IT has to work with the OT in that case to really be successful.
Yep. And you have to move past some of the language that we hear out there from groups that would say, I mean, how many PLC viruses have we witnessed? Right? Even though the PLCs have vulnerabilities. But, you know, what kind of attacks have we seen on control systems? And I have to admit, there's not been a lot. I mean, they exist. And some of them are horrific if they get in there and are able to take over your control systems. But a lot of those control systems use a lot of IT technologies. I always pick on Windows, right? Because you have Windows in the environment. That's running your HMI, your engineering workstation, right? Your historian. And so using those as examples, when a lot of companies get a breach, And it comes through IT, through some email phishing event, let's just say, and it's raging through the IT world. Well, the plants get caught up on that. Why? Because they have IT systems at the plants. And so they're getting brought into the breach and having to start the process of trying to eradicate this thing. But then the question is, well, is it on my plant floor systems yet? And if you don't have visibility, you don't know. So what do? And we've witnessed it, right? We saw it with Clorox. We saw it with Colonial Pipeline. We go down the list of a handful of them that says, hey, we have to shut down an abundance of caution for right. safety reasons. Right. We go and see right. if we can't make sure the stuff is not living in my Windows-based control system software, right?
Right.
And that's the challenge. And if you had an OT IDS tool that's sitting there watching for the malware signature, because it's getting the same threat bundle updates as your upstream IDS systems are on the IT side, to sit there and go, yeah, we haven't seen that over here yet. Well, you're taking precautions to keep that from coming in. We're not seeing that. So you can still run and you're not losing right. revenue versus taking
right.
down for months at a time.
I believe we've got a case study or something out on the actual successful where we had an instance. Right. And because that was in place, I was able to quickly identify, and just one instance pays for this program over years. Right. Yep. So I think the biggest thing from an IT perspective is to go in with an open mind and know that they're speaking a different language, and try and start thinking about, well, what is important to them? Because you're going to walk in, and what's important to you doesn't necessarily align to what's important to them. And then try and make those connections, because if you're trying to be, you know, an active IT department, trying to bring value to the organization, you want to align it with the OT. But think about, if you're taking it from the cybersecurity perspective, the tools can bring so much more to the OT. So if you start listening to them and they get some value out of it and you figure out what's the value, because they it's certainly there, you're going to get more participation from OT because they're going to go, well, this isn't just a exercise for me. There's some value here. And you're going to be able to provide a better solution with that. And if you need help for those conversations, then get help for those conversations. But just to go in and state that your goals are the goals of the company and the enterprise, and then walk into a facility, well, that ain't so, right? That's not going to be so. And because that plant operates on a different set of goals. And so that's what I'd say to the IT. And we're here to help those conversations. We have them every day. We have them every single day. And that would be my message to the IT folks here. So I'm going to let you kind of give your message to the OT folks, Dino.
From an IT perspective, I'd also add you need to come in and learn the OT ecosystem of partners and suppliers, number one, that the company uses to make the goods that they make in your environment, right? And so OT needs to start building, having conversations with those partners and start listening to what technologies you have. What are you guys doing to improve cyber hygiene with other clients, right? There has to be some mechanism where OT is trying to learn what other OT organizations are doing and who are the OT technology suppliers I should be listening to. Because too many times we hear, you know, IT has an IT cybersecurity practice technology that they're trying to shoehorn into the OT space, and it doesn't always fit. Especially getting back to all the things that we've been talking about earlier, about you really need to understand an environment before you can try to shove something down their throat. And they'll let you shove it down their throat. And then when it breaks and it shuts the plant for, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to shove it down your throat and say, get that crap out of my plant.
Right.
We'll stop with that. And we've seen that too, right? They just go like this.
It gets to your what did you say, two thirds? And I'm with you on this. It might even be bigger, is caused internally. And we see that all the time. Right. If you're trying to take that IT way without understanding the OT way, that's where you're going to get to the IT-OT collision, not the IT-OT convergence, right? It's more of a collision, and that's what we see all the time. And, that's where we're here to help. We're here to help to work that through because, I mean, we have these conversations multiple times in the week, right? So,
yep. And you need to get in IT and OT, they need to move this conversation up to their leadership to get them aware, right, of it and understand that the challenges that exist in trying to do this in a manner to provide some amount of flexibility. You just can't say, well, we bought a tool and we got some visibility. Well, what's some visibility and how much do you really want of the devices in your environment? So you got to past the talking points and actually, you know, dig into it and do your POVs and study them together between the two groups, you know?
Yeah, because I'm going to throw in one last movie reference because you can't expect the Beyond the Thunderdome to solve your problems, two go in and one come out. That's not going to get you there, right? Thunderdome. Anyway, we're getting our signal. So thanks everybody for listening. And of course, if you need any help moving this along in your organization to get it to move forward, please feel free to get in touch. This is stuff we do all day, every day.
We're here.
So, thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Podcast. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to click the follow or subscribe button now. And if you found this podcast helpful or have a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a review or let us know. If you're interested in learning more about Velta technology and how you can get safer sooner, visit veltatech.com. That's VeltaTech.com. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.